Welcome to Sunday Morning at Faith Assembly, featuring the ministry of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. We're glad you've joined us. Now, here's Pastor Goss.
Well, if you'll find your bulletin inside, there's some notes. We're in a series that we've entitled, What God is Looking For. It's taken from the passage in John with the lady at the well, and Jesus says, the time is coming, and indeed it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way, for God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. In other words, you and I have to understand that worship is about the worthiness of God. It's not just something we do here on a Sunday morning. It is something we do every day of our lives. It occurs when there's contact, our spirit with God's spirit, because God is a spirit. He's present everywhere all the time, and he wants to stay connected to us. And when our lives are lived in obedience to his commands, that's a life of worship. Now, worship's a very important thing. There's a few things in the life of a believer that are just critical. One of them is worship. The other is fellowship. It's important that you be with other people. You grow in the Lord when you're with other people. Why is that? Because when you're with other people, you don't get your way all the time. You have to act nice. You have to act like a Christian sometimes when you're around other people. I mean, imagine that. You just have to do that. And discipleship, what am I doing to help myself grow in the Lord? So those things become critical. This morning, what I want us to look at is, first of all, wrong worship. How you and I have a tendency to get off track. Now, in Romans chapter 1, Paul goes through a list of things. Now, when we go through this, here's what I want you to do. I don't want you to think for a moment, it's just those weird people way over there. It's just them. Boy, this is writing to them. I wish they were here to hear this. It's those weird people. No, it's us weird people too. Okay? We tend to do some of these things just as well. Okay? So the first one is stubborn ideas. There might be one or two people in the place who are stubborn. Stubborn ideas. He says in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. And as a result, their minds became dark and confused. You know, we tend to make God like we want him to be. We tend to come up with our own ideas of what God is like. Well, God's love. Well, I don't think he is because look what he's done to me. Wrong ideas. You know, stubborn ideas. Well, God's a great father. Well, I just don't understand that. Can't believe that because I didn't have a good father. Well, hold it. What's the Bible say? So we all tend to go down that path. And Isaiah 29:16, how foolish can you be? He is the potter. He is certainly greater than you, the clay. Should the created thing say to the one who made it, he didn't make me? Does every jar or every clay jar ever say, the potter who made me is stupid? We all have our little stubborn ideas, but those stubborn ideas lead to the next thing, and we have stupid reasoning. Stupid reasoning. I know some of you don't like that word, but it is a word in the dictionary, and you can use it, okay? Because sometimes I do stupid things, and I tell myself that, all right? So just pride. Notice verse chapter 1, Romans, verse 22, the next verse. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. Fools, stupid, throw them all together. And so we think we're smart. We think we know what's best. We think we see clearly. And so we go down that road, but in reality, we're not as smart as we think we are. Psalm 14, verse 1. Only fools say in their heart there's no God. They're corrupt and their actions are evil, and not one of them does good. The Lord looks down from heaven on the entire human race. He looks to see if anyone is truly wise. Who would that person be? If anyone seeks God. Isaiah, he burns part of a tree to roast his meat and to keep himself warm. He says, the fire feels good. Then he takes what's left and makes his god, a carved idol. He falls down in front of it, worshiping and praying to it. Rescue me, he says, you're my God. Such stupidity and ignorance. Their eyes are closed. They cannot see. Their minds are shut. They cannot think. The person who made the idol never stops to reflect, why, it's just a block of wood. I burned half of it for heat and used it to bake my bread and roast my meat. And how can the rest of it be a god? Should I bow down to worship a piece of wood? Now, you don't go out and cut down a piece of wood and do that. But you know what the other god is that you and I have a struggle with worshiping? It's called the god of money. And sometimes we think it will provide for us what we have need of, don't we? And we pursue it. And it isn't what it promises to be. And then there's substitute gods. We make up other gods. This is called an idol. What's an idol? An idol is anything that I put trust in other than God. An idol is anything in this life that I tend to go after rather than God. An idol is something that competes with God for my attention. It can be another person. It can be a possession. It can be a dream that you have. Oh, I want this and I want this. And yeah, God's there, but so is this. And they keep going back and forth and your heart's divided sometimes. Romans chapter 1, verse 23, here's what he says. Instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. You see, God understands our nature because you and I were created to worship something. And he tells the children of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 14, you must not worship any of the gods of neighboring nations, for the Lord your God who lives among you is a jealous God. In other words, God says, I don't want to share you with anybody. His anger will flare up against you and he'll wipe you from the face of the earth. Ezekiel 14, 1, some of the leaders of Israel visited me, and while they were sitting with me, the message came to me from the Lord. Son of man, these leaders, notice this, have set up idols where? In their hearts. So you see, you don't have to have an idol as an object that you see. You can make your own idol in your heart. They have embraced things that will make them fall into sin. Why should I listen to their request? Colossians 3:5. Put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. So you see, we create things in our heart that we want, that we pursue, that we give attention to, that we give time to, that we think about a lot. And God says, I don't want to share you with them. You're wasting time pursuing those things, thinking about those things, when you should be pursuing me and thinking about me. And anything that you and I allow in our lives to divide our attention, to direct us in a different direction, the Bible would call that an idol. Wrong worship. We go after things that we think promise us security, that we think promise us fulfillment, that we think will give us some pleasure. And then when we get them or get to them, it never works out and we get disappointed. And then what happens? We blame God for it. God, why'd you do this? God, why is it like this? God, how come? This didn't work out. And God says, because it's not your God. It's not something you should be going after in life. It's not made to work that way. It's an idol. And so you and I can make idols in our heart and we make substitute gods. Oh, we don't call them that. We don't think they're a god. We don't in our mind think, you know what, I'm going to worship money. We never think that way, do we? We just kind of think, well, you know what? If I work a few more hours, I can get this. And if I can just do this and get a little bit more of a promotion, I can have this. If I move to this different place, I'll get this. And we begin to pursue those things in our life. And before long, we're pursuing them and we're not pursuing God. well, I wanted to come to church, but I just work so much, I can't. What's wrong with that picture? I wish it was raining, because at least then we'd hear something. But this is close to home for us, isn't it? We want to say it's those people out there. But in reality, you and I battle with this just as well, don't we? It's so easy for us to fall into that place without intending to go there, but we end up there. And God says, that's just wrong. Which then leads to sinful actions. Hedonism. In other words, I do those things that please me. So Paul in Romans says, verse 24 of Romans 1, so God abandoned them. They did all these things. They went after other gods. They wanted them. I'll let them have them. They can do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. Now, that's just one thing they did. They did other things just as well that you and I do. You know, you do whatever your hearts desire. Why is it shameful? It's shameful because it's taking you away from God. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Pick one. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because you're going after another god. You're worshiping something that you were never created to worship. You were created, I was created to worship God, to live my life for him, to pursue him. And any time I allow something else to take away from that, it's an idol. And you know what? God will let me go. Why? Because I have a free will, don't I? He won't force me to love him. He can't. And so I have to choose. And then what happens? We begin serving things. Serving things. Here's what we do. Now, don't miss this. We create our traditions. You see, we go after God, and then we create a way to do some things that honor what we think is right. Romans 1:25, notice what he says. They traded the truth about God for a lie, so they worshiped and served the things God created instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. They begin to go after those things. They begin to think you got to do it this way. You got to do it like we do that even in church. We create our own little traditions because we think, this is what God wants. We think this is what's right. This is how it has to be. Isaiah 29:13. The Lord says, these people say they're mine. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And their worship of me is nothing but man-made rules learned by rote or repetition. In other words, let me come in Sunday morning, sit down, spend my time, do my thing, you know, sing a little bit, maybe get involved, listen to the guy ramble on and on and on and on forever and ever, fill out one blank to make it look like I'm paying attention, and just kind of go through this, and then I can get up and leave, and boy, I'm glad that's over. I can go on for another week. But I've done my duty. And see, we justify, don't we? Well, I don't like it that way. Well, okay. You make up your own. You create your own ways. And we all do it. Don't we? Hello? Okay. Matthew 15, Jesus replied, why do you, by your traditions, violate the direct commandments of God? Down a few verses, you hypocrites. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you, for he wrote, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is a farce, for they teach man-made ideas as commands from God. This is how it has to be. Now, I know none of you would ever do that. But we all do it. You see, it's wrong worship. And Paul says there's a progression to it that every one of us battle against, because there's always a competition for God in our lives, isn't there? There's a competition of who's going to be most important. There's a competition of what am I going to pursue? Who am I going to go after? What am I going to go after? Because down inside of us, every one of us is looking for something that will satisfy us and help us and give us what we think we need or want. And we pursue those things. And anytime we're pursuing anything other than God to find that fulfillment in, we've created an idol and we're worshiping wrong. And it's a constant battle. So, what does God want? When we talk about worship, what's he want? I'm going to give you four things. Four things that will help you in this and keep you on track in this. They're taken from Psalm chapter 50, verse 8. Here's what the writer says: I have no complaint about your sacrifices, God speaking, or your burnt offerings you constantly offer. In other words, yeah, you do that, good. I've got no complaint about that. But I don't need the bulls from your barns or the goats from your pens. For all the animals of the forest are mine, and I own a cattle on 1,000 hills, and I know every bird on the mountains, and all the animals of the field are mine. And if I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you, for all the world is mine and everything in it. Do I eat the meat of bulls or drink the blood of goats? You know, God says, look, I've got no complaint with what you're doing. You need to be doing it, but think about it. I don't really need all this external stuff. And he says here, next two verses, make thankfulness your sacrifice to God. Keep the vows you made to the Most High. Call on me when you're in trouble, and I will rescue you, and you will give me glory. Four simple things. Number one, be grateful. Be grateful. Make thankfulness your sacrifice to God. Be grateful for what you have. One of the main reasons you and I go after other gods is we're not content. We're looking for something more. We want something else. We think if I just had this, life would be better. If I could just get to this place, everything would be wonderful. And we tend to not be content, grateful for what we have and where we are. Just be grateful. Philippians 4:6. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. And then tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you'll experience God's peace, which will exceed anything we can understand. And his peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. How many people in this world are looking for some peace somewhere? You know what? If you want peace, you got to be grateful. You got to be thankful for what you have. And that's what the writer says here. Look, God says, look, just be grateful. Make thankfulness your sacrifice. Don't think, well, God, if I'll do this for you and I'll do this for you. Now, please hear me. Do those things. They're good things to do. As he said, I don't need your sacrifices, but you're doing them. They're fine. But down inside, are you grateful? Are you grateful? Colossians 3:15. Let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you're called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ and all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. You and I should be people that give thanks to God constantly, because it helps remind us he is everything we have and everything we need. And I want to make sure I keep my mind fixed on him, recognizing he's the reason behind life, not something else I think will make it better. And if I'll do that, I'll have peace. And any time you're not grateful, you're going to create an idol. Put it in the bank. You're going to do it. Secondly, guard your relationship. Guard your relationship. Yes, there's the rain we looked for earlier. We've heard that sound all weekend, haven't we? Guard your relationship. He says, keep your vows to the Most High. Now, what does he mean by that? Vows? What vows? I haven't made any vows. Let's go back in the Old Testament a little bit, very quickly. One day Joshua stood up and said, look, I don't know about you and what you're going to do, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Elijah one day stands up on the mountain and there's a battle going on between he and the prophets of Baal, and they build the altars, and he says to the children of Israel, the God who answers by fire is the true God. And in the response in both, and there's other places too, Israel was very good at this. Joshua, you're going to do that? We're in. We're going to do it too. Did they? No. Maybe for a little bit. But they didn't keep their vow, did they? People saw God answer by fire. Yeah, he's the living God. Did they stay on that track? No. One day, many of you said to God, I'm going to follow you and I'm going to serve you for the rest of my life. Have you stayed on that track? Every day? Keep your vows. God, I want to honor you. Keep it. God, this is what I want to do. There's going to be other things in life that are going to compete for your allegiance. And you have to stay strong to stay on track to keep God your main pursuit in life. Romans 12:1. So dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you. Give your bodies to God because of all he's done for you. Let them be a living, holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. God, I'm going to honor you today at work. God, I'm going to honor you in my relationships. God, I'm going to honor you in my decisions. I'm going to stay on track with that. I'm going to keep my word. Hebrews 13:15. Therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name. We live in a day and time where people do not keep their word. I'll love you forever. And we don't. Oh, I'd never do that. And we do. Keep your vows. Guard your relationship with God because it matters about life. Proclaim your allegiance to his name and make your life a living, holy sacrifice. Thirdly, go to God when in trouble. He says, call on me when you're in trouble. When trouble comes, turn to God. Now, let me tell you the problem or the difficulty with this. It's a very simple thing. When we get in trouble, we go to God. And then he's on the clock. Right? God, I'm coming to you. I need you to take care of this. I need you to fix this. And if an hour goes by and nothing's changed, we go to another God. One we make up. Well, he hasn't answered. I'll go do this. Maybe this will work. Or we wait a day. Or if you're really spiritual, you maybe even wait a week. And if you're really, really spiritual, you might wait a year. Because, let's be honest, sometimes it takes that long, doesn't it? We don't like that. But when I'm in trouble, who will I go to? Not just initially, but who will I keep going to day after day after day after day? Psalm 91, verse 14, the Lord says, I'll rescue those who love me. I'll protect those who trust my name. When they call on me, I'll answer. I'll be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. Now, sometimes we're like the kids in the back seat of the car. We go to God. God, we're going. God says, I'm going to get you there. And we're going, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? That's us, isn't it? Well, we're going. Are we there yet? I'm tired. I'm bored. That's life, isn't it? Psalm 86, verse 8, listen closely to my prayer, O Lord. Hear my urgent cry. I will call to you whenever I'm in trouble, and you will answer me. No pagan God is like you. O Lord, none can do what you do. So he says, look, when you're going through a hard time, when you're living life, I want you to be grateful for what you've got. I want you to have a heart and an attitude that's thankful for everything. And I want you to guard your relationship with me. You matter to me. And I want you to honor what you, your commitment. I want you to stay true to me because I'm going to stay true to you. And I want you, when you've got difficulties in life, I don't want you turning someplace else trying to fix it. I want you to come to me. I want you to depend on me. I want you to look to me for help. And then you and I give God glory. We give him glory. Last point, I will rescue you and you will give me glory. I want you to give me the credit. I don't want you to take credit for it. I want you to honor me. That's what worship does, isn't it? God, I'm thankful for all you've done. God, I might not like what's going on right now, but I'm going to trust in you because you are the God who's going to take care of me. It might take longer than I want. It might not be as easy as I want it to be, but God, I've got nowhere else to go and no one else to turn to, and God goes good, and we're going to let this get so messy that when it is resolved and cleaned up, you don't have an option but to thank me for it because you know you couldn't have done this. Psalm 44, verse 8. Oh God, we give glory to you all day long and constantly praise your name. What a great way to live. Psalm 86, 11. Teach me your ways, O Lord, that I may live according to your truth. Grant me purity of heart so that I may honor you. With all my heart, I will praise you, O Lord my God. I will give glory to your name forever, for your love for me is very great, and you have rescued me from the depths of death. Jude 1:24. I love these two verses. Now all glory to God who is able to keep you from falling away and will bring you with great joy into his glorious presence without a single fault. All glory to him who alone is God, our Savior through Jesus Christ our Lord. All glory, majesty, power, authority are his before all time, in the present, and beyond all time. Amen. Amen. Now, don't put your notes away. Okay? I know that's the last verse. Done. Got it. You're ready to go. I know. Okay? I want you to take a moment. I want you to look at that back. The last four things. All right, there's four things we've mentioned. We've said, okay, we got to be grateful. We said, guard your relationships, go to God in trouble, and give God glory. Let me ask you a question. Which one of those four do you struggle with? For some of you, you're special. It's all four. Right? Let's be honest. For those of you, you know, I really have a problem with this one. You know, I really need to improve on this. You know, this is where I'm weak. You know, this would make a big difference in my life. Would you take that one, and would you right now, just between you and God, would you say, God, help me here. I want to worship you. Here's where I'm struggling. And would you ask him to help you right now? Just take a moment. Now, maybe you're here and you say, but you know what, Pastor? I can't pick one because I'm not living like I should for God. I'm not where I need to be. And I've been going after other gods. I've been allowing other things in my life to be more important to me than God himself. And I need to turn my life around. And I need to go after God. And I need to ask him to forgive me. And I need to put my life on this track where I worship God in spirit and truth with all that's in me and in obedience to him. And that's my decision here today.
Thank you for joining us for today's service. If you would like to talk with someone about what you've heard, please visit our website at faith.ag or call us at 239-543-2700. If you're in the Fort Myers area and don't already have a church home, you're invited to join us for Sunday morning at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Faith Assembly is located at 7101 Bayshore Road. Join us again next week for Sunday Morning. Faith Assembly Sunday Morning is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida.